It has been said that there are no small parts, only small actors. And the idea of this is that whatever role you're given in a movie or a TV show, to do the best that you can in that role. Don't think yourself too important to fulfill the role that is given. I have said since I first started preaching full time that a congregation cannot grow at its full potential until all of the members are working at their full potential. And as a congregation, we have an important role in helping each other to develop our abilities so that we can better fill our role in the work of the local church. Paul explains the importance of this if you look in Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 11. We see that he says he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects in Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. As we look at this and look at what we had in our reading, we can see that it's very clear that we should all be doing our part, working together, and that the purpose of a local congregation is to help each individual Christian to develop so that they can go about and do the work that God has given to them. The scriptures are very clear that God's desire is for all of mankind to come to repentance. And we see that God has chosen this simple method to attain His goal, and it's through the simplicity of preaching the gospel. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, Paul gives his reasoning. He says, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things.' However, they did not heed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Now, when we read this, oftentimes we'll look at, okay, it's talking about preachers going out and preaching the gospel. But it's not just those who, in the modern aspect, the idea of preaching that we're talking about here. This is each and every one of us going out and preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ through word and through action, through the things that we're doing. The Apostle Paul often spoke of open doors that were present, opportunities for him to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we need to understand that if we want the Lord to open doors for us to preach the gospel, we need to be preparing ourselves so that we can follow through with that. We need to be equipping ourselves to be a service, to develop our abilities so that we can fill whatever role it is that we are best suited for. If we want those who come our way to feel that this congregation is one that cares and is concerned for them, then we've got to make sure that we provide every member an opportunity to serve so that they can fulfill their roles. Again, for maximum growth, each and every part, each and every member must be putting forth an effort to increase. Again, Ephesians 4 verse 16, "From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies." There is no such thing as an insignificant member of a local church. We all have a part to play, and we all need to put effort into that, because this, when you have, according to the proper working of each individual part, then you find the body growing, building up itself in love. And so I think it's good for us to note that there are a variety of roles that are to be filled within the body of Christ. And this seems to be overlooked. And a lot of times we focus on what we see as maybe major roles. And again, is there anything of greater importance in the service of God than other things that are in the service of God? No. As we're going to sing at the close of the service, there's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. Jesus talks about if you just offer a cup of cold water in His name, you're doing a good work. And we need to be aware of this variety of goals. And it's oftentimes overlooked by congregations when they're looking at encouraging and building up the roles and working of those that are a part of the congregation. And it also is frustrating when we look and go, well, I don't have those abilities. And so I have no role. I have no part to play in the work of the local church. And so in this week and next week, I want us to look at some things and hopefully gain a better understanding of the variety of roles that are available within the body of Christ. As we noted in our scripture reading, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." And as we look there in verse 4, we see that we are many members in one body. Now, I was talking to the teenage, not quite teenagers, the preteen class, I guess, for some of them, teenagers, the young adults class, and we were talking about parallel passages. And a wonderful parallel passage to Romans chapter 12 is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you go over and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there in verse 12, Paul stresses this point further. He says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is one member, is not one member, but many." And so we can understand this by looking at the physical realm. We see that our physical bodies are made up of many different parts. I mean, over 200 bones, and that's not counting all the other little things that make up our body. And we can see that in the physical realm. And Paul is trying to get the church, the Christians in Rome and the church in Corinth to understand that it's all of the members working together. And remember, the church in Corinth was a very divided congregation. It was one that they were lifting up the roles of certain individuals over others. That if you had this miraculous gift, you were more important than these others. And Paul is trying to get them to understand that you're all one. And all these many members are to be working together as one. And this applies not only to the church in its universal sense, but also it's applicable in the local sense. And going back to Romans chapter 12, he says again in verse 4, "Just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." I can't think of any part of my body that I would want to live without. That I wouldn't want to, that I would just freely go, "Oh, I don't really need this, let's just get rid of it." And we need to be the same way about the body of Christ. When we look at each and every one of the members, that we understand the importance of each and every one of the members of the body of Christ. Now, as we look further there in verse 4, he says, "You've got many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function." You see, he further develops this thought in the following verses. Beginning in verse 5, he says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And he kind of lists out these various roles that we all can play a part in that are very important in the workings of the local church and in a greater scheme in the workings of the church universal. And each of us have these abilities. And note that he's not necessarily talking about miraculous abilities. When you, when you read the term prophecy in the New Testament or even in the Old Testament, it's not just a telling of the future of things going to happen. It's the preaching of the Word of God. And so if it's in preaching, if it's in teaching, if it's in service or exhortation or giving, leading, or just showing mercy, these are all things that each of us have gifts in. And some may be gifted in all of them in some way. And others may excel in some and not be gifted in others. You see, we need to understand that all the members do not have the same function. It's kind of the too many chiefs, not enough Indians, too many cooks in the kitchen, that kind of a problem. And you run into this when we lift certain things up as a being of greater importance. And Paul is listing them all together as equally important. He says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, and each of us is to exercise them accordingly. As you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, in reasoning along this same line there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, he says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Note verse 29 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? Are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All are not gifts of healing? All do not speak with tongues, nor do they interpret. Note, he says there's all these different functions, and this is looking at primarily the miraculous gifts that were given. And again, they were lifting some up, saying, this is of greater importance than others, and we need to have that. He says, not everybody has the same gifts. God has given these things out, and the only thing of great importance that we see there is first the apostles, and then prophets and teachers, and then all these miraculous gifts. And as you continue looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you see at the end there that he says, let me go on to tell you a better way. And then he jumps into what we view as chapter 13 and talking about love and how that is to bring them together and not get caught up in these miraculous gifts that they had. And so Paul asks these rhetorical questions that show that not all members have the same function. God has appointed several different functions in the church, and we need to be playing our part. Indeed, when you look throughout the rest of the New Testament, we see that they imply the same. In James chapter 3, there in verse 1, James says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. And so not everyone should become a teacher, knowing that those who teach are going to be judged for every word that proceeds out of their mouth, everything that they've taught, everything that they've said. You're looking over in 1 Peter. Peter, in his exhortation to the Christians, he says, as in verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And I think it's important to look at that term manifold. And the idea there is variety, a motley grouping, diverse, many-fold. And so it's not like, okay, God's grace is just in one form and everybody gets that particular ability. But we are each stewards of many different things. And note verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so again, there's many works that are to be done, and we each have a responsibility to play our part in the working of the local church. And failure to appreciate this point can be detrimental. When you consider that, the individual members, they look and believe, well, all Christians have to be alike, and this guy over here, well, he leads singing, he leads prayer, and he preaches, and he teaches, and he's always visiting, and if I'm not like him, I'm not a good Christian. Well, that's not true. No matter what works you're doing, it's all in service to God. In fact, the Apostle Paul speaks of even after we've done everything, we are of all men most to be pitied, the Apostle Paul says. And so we need to look at these things and understand that there's There's no small job in the work of the local church. Only those who are unwilling to step up and do what they can do. And we each have a part to play. I've mentioned this before, that we had a lady where I first started preaching in Bossier City, Louisiana, who was in her 90s, almost 100 years old, and her job was being there. And that smile that she had every time she was there, and you could look and see that she was uncomfortable, but she was there, and she was a constant encouragement to me. She wasn't teaching classes, she wasn't doing any great works, but she encouraged a young preacher at a time when it was desperately needed. You see, it's detrimental to individual members when we don't recognize that there is a multiplicity of roles that are available to be filled, a variety that need to be taken care of. And it may lead us to fail in attempts to serve because we get discouraged that we can't do this work that others are doing, and we don't look to see the abilities that God has given us. And it's also detrimental to the function of the body itself. If we're not doing what God has given us the ability to do, if we're trying to focus on something or just not doing anything because we can't do this work, then we're not fulfilling our responsibilities in the local church, and the local church suffers. Because unless every part is playing its part, the church cannot function in the way that it should. And so as we conclude this lesson, I think it's important for us to note that every role is necessary. As we go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, he says, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Each of these are of great importance. And no one can say that they, or the role that they play in the work of the local church, is unimportant. And going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul discusses this, looking back at the physical body. And if you look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, he says, "If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is it is not for this reason any the less part of the body? And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be?" And so Paul uses this reasoning in saying, you look at the physical body, and well, if the foot says, I'm not capable to do the things that the hand does, what good am I? Well, we can see those who have to deal with the disabilities of not having legs. And while they might be able to continue on and to function in many ways, they're held back from being able to do what they would have been able to do with a whole body. And the same is true with the church. Someone might say, well, I'm not a preacher, therefore I'm not important. Well, where would the preacher be without the audience? How would the preacher go without those who are giving to pay so that he can go? How can the preacher accomplish these things? How can the church exist without the working of every member of the congregation? I'm not an elder. Well, what good are elders if there's no flock for them to oversee? We each have a part to play. And no one can say that what others do is not important. Looking further there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look there in verse 21. He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." For many of us, we have kind of a tough exterior that can withstand a lot of things. And that which is the most vulnerable is of great necessity. And the same is true in the local church. Every individual part is important. Every role that is filled is important. There's no place for an arrogant independence amongst members of the body of Christ. When someone has the idea that I can make it on my own and I can do everything that needs to be done, they fail to recognize the importance of the local church and the importance of the working of every individual member. And so this places a few challenges before us. First, we need to become aware of the many different ways, the variety of roles that are to be filled in the working of the local church. And then we need to be looking in our own lives and seeking, what is it that I can do? What job can I fill? What role can I play in the working of the local church? And we need to be encouraging others to seek out what they can do. One thing that we find in the scriptures, when there's encouragement to Christians, it's always in growing in whatever abilities that they have. And so we need to encourage ourselves and other members to develop the functions that best suit their abilities. Let's stop trying to put a circle through a square hole. Let's let them do the roles that they can fulfill. Not everyone is a teacher. Not everyone is someone who's comfortable standing before a congregation. But each and every one of us have a role that we can play. And then we need to, as a congregation, strive to provide direction and opportunity for those who are willing and prepared to serve in their different functions. Again, we get so caught up in certain aspects of the work of the local church that we fail to really carry out all that needs to be done. And unfortunately, because many view other roles as less important, they get put onto those who are already fulfilling many, many other roles. And what happens when you put all of the work on one horse? Well, that horse finds himself in an early death. And so we need to be all seeking what we can do to lighten the load of others, to do the roles that we can do, and to function effectively as a congregation. Next week, I hope to look some more at some of the variety of roles that must be filled in the working of the local church. And it's more than just the main ones that we oftentimes think of. There are many works that need to be done and much that needs to be accomplished. We encourage you to consider where you are in your work and to recognize that you're a part of a body, that while we are many members, we are one body and we all have a work that we're to be doing. Again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Now, as we close our lesson this morning, we want to extend the invitation, as we always do, to those who perhaps are here and have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've never surrendered yourself to God, you're not a member of that one body, but you can be. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth, lived a perfect life to be that perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, then I encourage you to confess your faith, to repent of your sins, and to surrender yourself in baptism. There, coming into contact with the blood of Christ, we are washed clean of all of our sins and made whole and righteous in the sight of God, and we become a part of that body of Christ. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've gone through your life and you've allowed others to fill the roles, never looking for the part that you are to play. Well, when you look through the teachings of Jesus repeatedly, He talks about those that are not bearing fruit, those who are not doing what they should be doing, that they are cut off and cast to the side, left to dry, and they're burned up at the end. Perhaps you're here and you recognize that there's work that you should be doing and you've allowed yourself to be cut off because you haven't been faithful in your service to God. You haven't been doing what you can do. I encourage you to make your life right with God this morning and become restored to that vine and being an effective worker, bearing not only bearing fruit, but bearing much fruit. Whatever your situation might be, we ask that you make it right with God as we stand and as we sing.